Congressman John Chimkus is on the line this morning. As we told you earlier, his office had made us aware that he was going to be on the House floor. He has literally just left as I'm kind of stalling a second, letting John get a chance to catch his breath. As I know, he's been very busy, while at the same time has been courteous enough to insert us into his busy day. John, you get a chance to catch your breath, my friend?
Yes, I have.
Okay. I can't help but
be
curious. John, it is. You know what's interesting is somebody texted me this morning about your appearance this morning before you came on. I want to read this to you. Important. Please tell John he's going to be missed. Maybe he can set up a John Chimkus Public Policy Institute at John A. Logan College. Maybe he can get with Pichard on this.
Well, maybe I could, or at least come down and visit every now and then. There is going to be an announcement of being involved in some type of education, but that is for another day. Maybe I'll let you break the story.
Okay, I'll be looking forward to it. If you, by the way, need an executive director for the John Chimkus Public Policy Institute, I want to throw my hat in the ring for that. John, first, because my curiosity has gotten the best of me, I was aware that you were making a motion on the House floor. What was that concerning this morning? It was such an imperative for you.
Well, I deal with a lot of nasty issues because of the chemical areas, PFAS and, Tosca, all that stuff in my wheelhouse. We don't talk about it very much because it's very confusing, but everybody knows asbestos. And so we moved in a bipartisan package, passed a bill last November, 47-1. The one objection was a Republican who, and we're trying to get that bill on the floor. The Democrats are going to put that bill on the floor on Tuesday of this week. We only found out on Friday, but they changed the language to help the trial lawyers. And we've been trying to move, try to find a compromise all week. Sandstone and gravel, the hard rock miners. You got mining pits in southern Illinois. I visited many of them. Adamantly opposed because of the long arm of the trial lawyers in shutting down businesses. We just couldn't get there. Now they're trying to blame us. And so what I tried to do today was just bring the bill up. I asked unanimous consent that we'd bring up the bill that we passed out of the committee 47-1. And I asked for its immediate consideration. And then they blocked it. So the reality is if they wanted to ban asbestos, they could have done it today.
All right. The interesting thing is John and I, have talked once a month since the day he became congressman, every month. And if we missed it, it was a rare occasion. And on many occasions, if you've listened, he talked about these things that are complicated and dirty and things along that line. Well, a good example is Yucca Mountain, which John's been on for the entire term, and we put the money in, then they don't want the money. They don't want the product put in, even though they want the money for building the site. It's you start getting into some of this stuff, it's pretty mind-bending. Now, when it comes to top-of-the-mind awareness this morning, it is the vote in the House last night for a $2.2 trillion coronavirus economic relief bill, vote 2014-207. No Republicans voted for the bill. 18 Democrats voted against it. John?
Well, what's happening now is that the moderate Democrats, not the far left, what they did was pack this with all far left issues. The moderates are saying we have to have something to go home to before the election, and we did this too. So it's what happened. It was not a bipartisan bill. Most of us are waiting for some negotiation between Mnuchin and Pelosi on something that didn't happen. So now this is campaign fodder, until we come back and whether we do something after that. I mean, we've already spent $3.6 trillion. I think the number that was discussed was 1.5. Maybe the Republicans would bite on that. But and then you throw in all their left-wing crazy stuff. It was an easy no vote.
Can you give me an example of left-wing crazy stuff, John?
Well, some of the provisions that deal with handling of the prescription or the the vaccines and the money and where it goes to. I was many things, like the Lincoln Center. Some things that aren't even associated with the Lincoln Center and stuff like that. National Endowment for the Arts. All these other things that really have no COVID connection. But it's just a must-pass bill, and they just shove all this stuff in. Or they got a member who says, we know this bill is not going to pass anyway, just put mine in. And that's how it balloons to 2.2 or whatever.
Right, and Nancy Pelosi saying yesterday, we compromised, we asked for $1 trillion less. I mean, that was a direct quote from Nancy Pelosi yesterday. It was, right?
Yeah.
That was our compromise.
You know the story I talk about. When I first ran in 96, I was adamant that the $4 trillion. Now, we could easily do that in this COVID area and have 6.6 in 1 year. I mean, it's ludicrous.
All right, John, it was interesting because I'm reading on Wednesday night, the end of the fiscal year, $6 trillion plus was what was spent. At the end of August, we had spent $6.1 trillion. It's one of the largest, if not the largest, budget deficit ever. We were in deficit spending to the tune of $3 trillion in August, and almost twice as much as we overspent or deficit spending in the wake of the 2008 financial crisis. 2009, we did have worse numbers. Of course, we've been in the process of digging out, but we're back there again easily. But here's the frustrating thing, John. The Democrats say we must have money. We must have money. The municipalities, the cities, they must have money. Money that was approved March 27th is still not seen the streets of Southern Illinois, nor county, nor municipality, according to anyone who's reported to me. Haven't seen the money.
Well, and we know that. The Republicans over Congress sent a letter to the governor and said, let's get this money out. What are you holding it for? And then why are you coming to cry to us and say you don't have enough money when there's money unspent? You know, part of the negotiation on this spending bill was to take, I think where the Republicans moved from $1 trillion to $1.5, I think they were going to be able to try to recapture about $400 billion that wasn't spent. So it's not really a $1.5 trillion offer. It was really $1.1, but let's get this rest of this money out. It's sad.
Have you noticed, John, the casual nature in which we throw about billions of dollars now? I mean, you go back just a few years ago, and I remember having this conversation with a senator. You know, $1 million. Now, it's a billion, it's a trillion. I mean, we throw these numbers around like they don't seem to have the weight they should have, because I heard it this morning. The government's going to give this much money. The government doesn't have any money. It only has what it takes from its citizens and businesses. You know, the government is going to spend. The government's not spending any. They're not giving any. They're giving my. You know what I mean? I think that's intellectually dishonest, the casual, cavalier nature in which we talk about deficit spending now.
Well, I think the public understands, because that's why they're adamant against tax increases. I think they're adamant against, I would hope, this progressive tax movement. Because when they, government, say, we need more revenue, we're just going to spend it more. I mean, it's again, sad, disappointing. That's why I want less taxes, not more taxes.
Capitol Hill abuzz about the Trump had first lady positive test overnight.
Yeah, I think, you know, I got up pretty early, which I always do. And the everything was bleating and blurping and stuff like that. So, yeah, it is. I haven't listen to any analysis from, you know, talking heads or stuff. But, I mean, I'm kind of looking at it this way, and I would hope that, you know, I believe you can wear masks, socially distance, wash your hands, and you can operate in the world today. I don't think you have to be locked away in your room. I think the president can still operate. But I just think people got to be careful and people got to be smart. When people do dumb things with people they don't know in large groups, it's really on them if they catch it. But I know I've known people. You know, Ronnie Davis got it. He has no idea how he got it. He isolated for 14 days. He's okay. His wife didn't get it. His two twin boys didn't get it. His daughter didn't get it. So it's really strange. And he felt bad for a day and a half. I mean, I felt worse getting the flu.
Right.
You know, than some of these, but it is deadly to some folks. It's the I just hope we get. I just hope it ends. I mean, I'm tired of it.
Right, and how it will end, of course, the question.
And I do think, this Operation Warp Speed, these vaccines are going to be here December, January. I think there's going to be a big fight of who gets it and how and why, and even internationally. But I think there's hope on the horizon. But I also fear another virus like this, you know, also sometime in the future.
All right, a couple of things, because I know you're busy, and I want to get you back to your work day. But first, I want to take a listener's question. Jim just sent this in. Tom, could you please ask John about targeting aid to specific industries and why it is so hard to compromise? Now, and I'm not trying to put words in Jim's mouth, but when I hear that question, the first thing I think is the airline industry. Right, we know they're in trouble. The layoff starting 1st of October. It's a high overhead industry. It's important. I mean, you're no stranger to the importance of airlines with your history in St. Louis. What's your thoughts here, John?
Yeah, it's very tough. That's the problem with bailing people out, right? When you bail one person out and you say, we're doing it because of this, you're always going to find someone else and say, well, what about me? You know, we're just as critical as anyone else. You look at, you almost have to bail everybody out or you don't.
You know, the minute you said that, I got that, John, because you're the industry. Well, you know, what about the tourist industry? What about hotels? What about,
right.
I get right. That. The minute you said it made perfect sense.
Yeah, that's how these $1 trillion bills balloon to $3-4 trillion. Everybody comes to the table. I think they do due diligence, and they say, we're in this mess, and, you know, help me pay for my mortgage and all my employees, and this is the price tag, and then you add it all up, and you go, holy cow, where business, it's tough to say, you know, I'm a market-based. See, if you want to raise money, assume risk, and get a return on investment, right, that's the business model. You're hoping to make money. And that's why I always say people ought to be able to keep the money they make based on assuming the risk. There's another side of that equation that people can't control, right? It's a risk for a reason. And whether it's a risk because there's a downturn in the economy and you're just in a bad situation, or it's a risk because of a pandemic, or it's a risk because of this, a risk because of that. Now, our hospitals, which are some are private, some are, in essence, not-for-profits, we need them operating to take care of our citizens who get sick, right?
Right.
So it's tough. I don't know the right
thing. I think it's interesting about, you know, got to be in place to take care of, because health insurance, things like that. Here's another question. Please ask John. This is really kind of a statement question. Our strategic power supply is being threatened with the shutdowns of the coal-fired and nuclear power plants. Now, this is interesting. We've Joppa, Baldwin, I think those are two of four. Today, they're shutting down a coal-fired generator at Lake of Egypt. Some jobs going to be lost there. This is something you're altogether familiar with. I saw Senator Dale Fowler make comment to coal regulations, which are stiffer in Illinois than federal regulations, the cause we're seeing this these power plants close. We've seen the effect in California with rolling blackouts after they close their power plants. People are thinking the same thing is coming to the people of Illinois.
Well, I think so. I mean, California went through an energy crisis a decade ago. They're even in a worse position. Now with the fires and the smoke covering up the solar panels, they really can't generate enough. The Republican position is major generation, coal and nuclear, and that it ought to be part of the mix. But this excessive regulations, low-cost natural gas, actually tax credits to green energy make baseload not competitive unless you identify it as a national security interest, or you identify it as a international interest because it's carbon free, like, which would be nuclear. Somehow you have to pay for these operations or they're going to close unless you're going to bail them out.
Right.
You know, then we go back to the other debate.
Yeah, and then you see these power plants close and take a bite out of the tax foundation of a given county or municipalities and effect on the schools, too. I told you only a couple more questions. I'm going to abuse your goodwill. Here's another one. Won't the Republicans blocking the bill that the stimulus that we talked about hurt themselves in November? A lot of people are counting on those stimulus checks for Christmas and school clothes and et cetera. So worries that the Republicans blocking stimulus is how they would this question was framed is a bad thing for Republican prospects in the November election.
Yeah, well, I mean, we're in that political calculation, and members have to make that choice. I think it's not blocked in the House; it passed. So we voted against it, but it's not blocked. I guess the case could be McConnell, but I think he can't put. There's a lot of conservative U.S. senators who are saying they're worried about debt and deficit, and I don't think he can't pass a $1.5 trillion. He can't pass a $2.2 trillion. Through the Senate chamber. Maybe he could get a $1 trillion through.
Right.
Listen, I run every 2 years since 1988. Everything we do is a political calculation that you think you have to evaluate how people are going to respond to your votes, and that's why it's important to go to the polls. Cast your vote.
Right. John, before I let you go, the final question. This is my question. What are your legislative imperatives? Your imperatives, not necessarily legislative, but something you can do within your office, maybe not in D.C. specifically. Are there imperatives, things that you want to do to put a bow on your time in Washington?
Oh, the bow's already that's done. I mean, there's nothing else. It's just for those who evaluate the 24 years served and the legislation that, I mean, what's done is done. This asbestos bill would have been nice. That would have been a great way to go out, banning asbestos. I mean, most people think it's banned already. And making sure that you don't destroy companies in the process of banning. That would have been a nice finish. I think, you know, my biggest legacy is the Toxic Substances Control Act. I think helping Eastern European nations get into NATO and the EU on the international arena. I got surprised Tuesday night with a special order on the floor arranged by Steve Scalise, and a lot of my colleagues came down and said some tremendous things. And I guess at heart it was my faith in God, my love of my family, and my love of country. You know, if I can walk out of this chamber with people saying those things, I'm the happiest man alive.
Congressman John Shimkus this morning. You know, that's interesting. Just a note before I let you go. I was working on a project to build inside of a school building in Carbondale. It's still vacant, but the asbestos floor panels, when I was with the architects and the builders, said this is a problem for us. We can seal it. We can have it removed. You don't understand the overhead. We walked away from that project, and I picked it up not far from the center of the intersection in Carbondale, and the whole problem, we could have renovated that place, brought it back into use again, and it was asbestos. That's what stopped the entire project.
Right.
Heating pipes and everything else.
It was a life-saving fire retardant, but it's also fibrous, and it destroys your lungs.
Yeah.